The explanations for the Abu Ghraib prison scandal are not nearly as clear as the photographs. Investigators have revealed a lot of information in the past few weeks. A lot of it is confusing, and that confusion may not be accidental, as NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
From the moment the disturbing pictures from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison were broadcast on national television and around the world, there's been a demand for explanations, such as what happened and who was involved. The administration has always portrayed it as the work of a few bad soldiers, but promised to find the truth. To that end, a series of investigations has been launched, 6 at last count. Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution, says that's too many.
It's the sort of thing where we're being swamped with detail and with unending reports that most people will get tired of hearing, their eyes will glaze over, and they won't keep paying attention. And I worry that's a deliberate strategy on the part of the Pentagon.
Critics say that the administration has been obstructing the investigations and other attempts to get to the bottom of the Abu Ghraib scandal. Testimony to the Senate Armed Services Committee has often been confusing and showed there were discrepancies in policy and direction. The Pentagon still hasn't delivered critical documents, such as reports from the International Committee of the Red Cross to members of Congress, even though the ICRC says it's willing to hand them over. And the administration has brushed aside increasing calls for an independent commission rather than a series of smaller investigations to examine the scandal. Robert Oakley, an ambassador under the Carter, Reagan, and the first Bush administration, says an overarching panel could help determine who should be held responsible for the abuse. Oakley says it's clear this is not the work of a few rogue soldiers.
I think the impressions have already been made that whatever the narrow responsibility may or may not have been, clearly the higher-ups in the chain of command weren't prepared vigorously to turn this off. And therefore they were condoning it, if not ordering it. They were willing to overlook things, if not specifically to order things.
The administration says it's content to have the Army investigate itself. One of the key reports that officials were hoping to help answer questions was to be written by Army Major General George Fay. But the Pentagon says Fay was relieved of his task because he was not senior enough to question higher-ranking officials. But sources with close links to the Pentagon say that Fay did complete his investigation, but that it was, quote, a complete whitewash. The renewed investigation was further stalled when it took more than 2 weeks to name Fay's replacement to look into the abuse. In the meantime, Washington has become a sieve. The classified memos and letters that have been leaked to the press have helped give a clearer picture of what could have contributed to the problem at Abu Ghraib. The most damning was a memo written in August 2002 by the Department of Justice that advised the White House that torturing Al-Qaeda suspects in captivity abroad may be justified. David Cole, a professor at Georgetown University Law Center, says that memo was the first solid link between Iraq and Washington.
The memorandum from August 2002 is really the first place where you see an extended attempt to justify the use of coercion and even torture, essentially treating what is an absolute ban on torture as if it's some sort of tax code where the lawyer's purpose is to find the loopholes, not to obey the spirit of the law.
The legal reasoning that went on in that document was then used in a March 2003 report written by the Department of Defense for detainees in Guantanamo. Then there were Pentagon documents listing aggressive interrogation techniques. The administration says that the memos were simply discussions of legal issues and that it abides by treaties barring torture and says that all detainees should be treated humanely. But after the memos were leaked, the White House declassified more than a dozen documents, which it hoped would show the process and deliberations that went on as the administration developed its policies on interrogation and international law. Georgetown's Cole says there's still many unanswered questions.
We've only gotten selective disclosure of documents, so we still haven't seen sort of how this actually got implemented through the chain of command. The Bush administration has simply been unwilling to disclose in toto what it's doing in terms of interrogation.
But some members of Congress and the Pentagon say documents about interrogation techniques should stay classified so as not to help the enemy. And Doug Kamek, a professor of law at Pepperdine University, says the government was correct in reassessing international treaties in the war on terrorism.
the nature of the war we're fighting tested the limits of the international agreements that are in place. The Geneva Convention is a convention that is really intended to govern conventional warfare, regular armies targeting military targets, not civilian populations like occurred on 9/11.
But there are concerns that too many liberties were taken with the Geneva Convention and international law. Last month, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld admitted that he had ordered military officials in Iraq to hold a detainee, but not register him or notify international authorities. Legal experts say both conditions violate the Geneva Accords on the treatment of prisoners of war. Rumsfeld says the so-called ghost prisoner was treated humanely. In December 2002, Rumsfeld also authorized harsh interrogation techniques, such as the use of dogs to intimidate prisoners. The Brookings Institute O'Hanlon says Rumsfeld has gone over the line.
We've already now learned enough to think that Rumsfeld authorized torture. My judgment, for that reason, and because he has become compromised in his effectiveness based on the whole scandal, and someone needs to take responsibility, to my mind, this calls for a new debate about whether he should resign. But I am hearing no such debate.
And with Congress in recess, the calls for action have come to a screeching halt. Many Republicans say they just want the issue to go away. Many Democrats see the abuse scandal as an election year issue. Former Ambassador Oakley sees it as a sad take on America's image abroad.
We want to create democracies, human rights, we want to promote freedom. We are the ones who are going to set the example for the others. Well, we set a bad example.
Oakley says that example could start to be repaired if someone high up the chain of command took responsibility for the abuse. So far, only 7 non-commissioned military police officers have been charged. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.